red or green? That is the burning question today on KRWG's Red or Green Confidential. Hi, I'm Edmundo Resendez. Let's put politics aside and take a break from COVID to savor in the flavor on the only show dedicated to Chile. My special guests are Dr. Paul, the Chili Man Boslin, formerly of NMSU's Chili Pepper Institute, and the doctor of the palate, Juan Morales of the Santa Fe Grill. We'll share recipes and, of course, take your questions as we get a little chilly on a 97-degree summer day. All calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $20 gift certificate to the Santa Fe Grill. 575-646-2212 is the number to call, or join us on our Facebook page. KRWG's Red or Green Confidential is coming up after the news. Let's kick off KRWG's Red or Green Confidential on Voice of the Public on 90.7 FM, KRWG.org, and Facebook Live. I am Edmundo Resendez, your host on the show dedicated to New Mexico's favorite fruit, chile. 575-646-2212, 575-646-2212 is the number to call to ask your questions or share a recipe. Casey Counts is on our social media desk ready to hear from you. She is also handling the phones. Our special guests are Dr. Paul the Chili Man Boslin, formerly of NMSU's Chili Pepper Institute, and the professor of the palate, Juan Morales of the Santa Fe Grill. Gentlemen, here we are, totally different. We're doing this via Zoom. Last year and in previous years, we've sat around some delicious food that Juan Morales has brought in. But this year, we're just going to have to savor the flavor, just the aroma. Dr. Boslin, welcome.
Well, thank you. What a year difference a year makes, I guess, huh? It's just so crazy. Much. But we're still growing chilies. We're still consuming chilies. So it's great to be here.
For those of you that are just tuning in, join us as we talk about chili. Share in your recipe. Where do you buy your green chili? Do you roast it yourself or do you have it roasted? How many pounds of chili? This is the magical question I always ask. How many pounds of chili will you be buying? Do you buy chili for friends from out of town or do you keep it all for yourself? How hot is too hot? Want to share thoughts or recipe? And who makes the best green chicken, green enchiladas and the red enchiladas? Juan, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Edmundo. Dr. Boslin, hello, sir. How are you all doing this fine afternoon?
We're doing very great. Well, we're doing great.
Outstanding. I was saying, well, we're expecting a good chili crop. What do you think, Dr. Boslin?
Absolutely. It's got off to kind of a little rough start. We got some really hot weather. Believe it or not, chilies don't like it when it gets over about 95 degrees Fahrenheit. But so it got a little hot this summer. Just on the weather station last night from El Paso, we had 55 days of over 100 this year. So it's been a very hot year. And that also will make the chili hot, believe it or not. A little bit of stress like that makes the chili hotter. So if you like medium, you may want to buy mild this year. If you like hot chili, it's going to be very hot.
I had a question for you, sir. Lumbre. I've been hearing a lot about lumbre. Now, what pepper is it? What chili is lumbre? Because they're calling me. So I refer them to the Sandia Select because that's one of my favorites. I say that's something pretty close, but it really, they're asking for lumbre.
Yeah, lumbre is one from Hatch. Mr. Jimmy Lytle, whose dad, the Big Jim Chili, was named after, developed it. And it is quite hot. And so it's his variety. So if you go to the Hatch Chili Express, you can get lumbre. And I remember when he released it, he told me, well, good luck, because I didn't think people wanted a hot chili. But they did. And so I always eat crow when I go to see him. And I tell him, yeah, I missed the calling on that. I didn't think people really wanted such a hot one. And so we went back and redeveloped the Sandia. Sandia is originally a thin-walled red chili for red chili powder. But the growers and the consumers wanted a green chili. And so we went back, reselected for a thick green wall. And so we called it Sandia Select. So you could tell the difference between Sandia, which is the red powder, Sandia Select, New Mex Sandia Select for green chili. And yes, it's warm. It's on the hot end of the New Mexican pod types.
575-646-2212, 575-646-2212, or join us on our Facebook Live page. By the way, all calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win a $20 gift certificate to the Santa Fe Grill, so you can pick up your burritos and enjoy yourself. Casey Counts, joining us on our social media desk and also on phones.
Good afternoon. You know, I had a question when you said a red chili or a green chili. I was under the impression that green chilies turned to red chilies, and that's how we got red chili.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And in the old days, we called it a dual-purpose chili. You'd pick some green chilies, then let the later set turn red, and you'd pick red in the fall. But because consumers wanted, you know, a thick-walled green chili, that doesn't become a thin-walled red easy to dry. So we've developed varieties for the red, you know, product versus the green product. So we now have single kind of used chilies. But any chili you grow in your home garden, you could pick green and let it turn red. But, you know, in the commercial industry, they prefer to have the green chili thick walls versus the thin wall for making drying easy.
Ah, that makes sense. And we had a comment on social media even before we started the show today from Bo Reyes, who said he bought his 25-pound bag at Lowe's and roasted it at home. That way you get that smell at home, and commented on making great rellenos with it. So maybe this is a good opportunity to talk about what chilies we use for great rellenos.
And we want to thank Lowe's Supermarkets because they are a sponsor of the Red or Green Confidential, as is Oregon Mountain Solar and Electric. Dr. Boston, how is retirement treating you? And can you talk about the new director of the Chili Pepper Institute, which we need to bring on air so he can introduce himself?
Sure. Retirement, I would have never guessed a year ago when I retired that this year would have been like this, but it's worked out well. I'm healthy, alive, and so that's always good. And yes, the university hired a Dr. Dennis Lozada, Lozada, and his phone number is my old phone number, which was 646-5171. And I'm sure he'd be glad to answer chili questions for you. And so we've got someone on board.
Well, you were recently on a BBC show being interviewed about chili.
Yeah,
so they're still calling you.
Yeah, they, you know, I still do Green and Red Confidential, BBC Answers. You know, they had a question about, like a call in to their station that, why do people in warm climates, hot climates, eat chili peppers? Is it because you sweat? It makes you feel cooler? Well, that was one of the reasons. But I said, you know, chili peppers are what we consider a warm season crop. They grow better in warm climates, so you're going to grow them there. But the more important reason is probably because chilies are antimicrobial, antibacterial. They preserve foods in the warm climate so that they use that as a food preservative, and it helped get rid of parasites in the humans that ate them. So it became a very healthy product to use in their foods. And then I always like to end with that your body produces endorphins when you eat chilies, and endorphins give you that good feeling. And so after you've eaten chilies, you feel good. And so puts a smile on your face. You get that burrito down you. You're smiling as you walk out. And they'll be back.
Let's talk about vitamin C, correct, sir?
Yeah, green chili has more vitamin C than an orange per weight. And the red chili has more vitamin A than carrots on per weight.
Really? Okay. Well, that's good to know. Juan Morales, let's talk about recipes. Share your recipe for enchiladas, red enchiladas.
Red enchiladas, well, of course, you know, we start off with nothing but New Mexico select, you know, sun-dried red chili. You know, I have a passion for New Mexico. I'm a New Mexican. And, you know, like, you know, we get these pods. This is what we do. My wife, she likes to put them in, clean them up, wash them up, likes to put them in a pot of boiling water. Let them boil, let them simmer for a while. And she likes to get that aroma in the house. And it creates a wonderful aroma because it lingers throughout the whole house. So that's one method. My mother, what she does, she puts them in the sink. She rinses them off and she soaks them in the sink with warm water, lets them sit there for an hour or so. So, you know, both methods are great. Now, if you're looking for a quicker method, I think the boiling will work quicker. So what we do, we get it. You know, you get your nice Ninja blender, your nice Vitamix blender. You know, you throw your pods in there. You know, you season it to your liking. You know, I use garlic, light salt. You know, you can use a little bit of onion if you like, oregano. It just depends up to you. But the way we make it here at our home, Casa de Morales, we use the pods. We use fresh garlic, organic if possible, you know, organic, dash of salt, and, you know, just bring it to a simmer. And also with our tortillas, there's two methods of the tortillas. My wife, she likes to fry
corn, of course.
Yes, corn tortillas, nice thin corn. She likes to fry them. She, you know, she devs them down, you know, absorb some of that oil. And also, you could steam them in the microwave as well if you want to avoid the oil. And, you know, what she does, she dips them in the sauce, tops them off with a little bit of cheese, a little bit of onion, a little bit more cheese, more onion. So she gradually, as she stacks them up, you know, she does a stack kind of like a pancake stack, you know, and she puts more cheese at the top. So you could also do it in the form of a casserole as well. And, you know, the flavors you need. Now, a lot of people, they like to sift the chili, strain it, make sure there's no skins and seeds. But if you have a high quality, like a Ninja or a Vitamix, it purees it so well that you don't need to. So it just depends. Some people like it with pellejo, that skin, translates to skin. Mm-hmm. They like it like that, like it chunky. But me, we like the puree with no skin, no nothing. And, you know, that Vitamix or Ninja, just blend it up really good, and you're in business.
Okay, so you've got comment there?
Well, I have a comment, and there's someone on the line waiting with a question. I was just going to say, if you want to make it a healthy fry, I use a good quality olive oil to give my tortillas a little spin there. And then we get our healthy omega-3s, right? And
it's vitamin-packed. You know, that's the whole thing. It's like, I'm on a vitamin-packed diet.
It's a health food for sure. Yeah. We have John on the line. And thank you, John, for calling and for your patience this afternoon. Welcome to Voice of the Public, the Red or Green Confidential.
Thank you. Can you hear me well?
Yes.
We can hear you great.
So I'm going to weigh in here, maybe a little controversy for the doctor of taste there. I'm a green person, and I think that onion and garlic ruin the taste of green. I think, like you barbecue meat to bring out the flavor, I think grilling chili and in the husk is the way to go to develop the full flavor of the green chili to make the best enchiladas in the world. What do you think, Doctor of Taste?
What do you think, there, Juan?
Well, you know, there's nothing like a fire-roasted green chili. You get that fire-roasted green chili, you make your enchilada sauce, whether you use cream of mushroom, cream of chicken, or you make a roux out of, flour and chicken broth. You know what I mean? And
No. Let me say one thing, and then I'll quit bugging you. I don't use anything except a few raw spices like cumin and basil and oregano. And I do use chicken broth that I've charred the chicken broth also to the perfect golden degree. And that just makes the best green enchilada sauce. So simple, but full of green chili taste. So that's my opinion.
Our mouths are all watering, John. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much, John, for calling in. All calls and social media questions are entered into a drawing to win a $20 gift certificate to the Santa Fe Grill. 575-646-2212. Yes, Shabazz.
I have a question for Juan. In your house, does your wife like green or red, and you like something different? Because I know in my house, my wife likes the green sauce more than I do. I like the red sauce, and so we have to make two sauces.
Yes, you know what? I prefer red. She prefers green. And, you know, she makes an awesome chile relleno. She makes an awesome enchilada. She makes an awesome – she's great. You know, she is great. You know, she has her own recipes, you know, that were handed out from her grandma Juanita, just like my recipes were handed out from my grandma Lupita. So we kind of collaborate, and, you know, we tweak them on, and we add, like, she never used cumin. carne adobada recipe, a red chili meat recipe, and I used a little bit of cumin, a little bit of oregano. All she did was just garlic and salt. And don't get me wrong, it is great.
Dr. Bosselin, let's talk about the different kind of chilies. Educate us on, I'm going this Saturday to buy my chili up in Hatch. What chili should I be asking it for if I want hot chili? And what's the what are the different kinds of chilies that are available?
Very good. What we try to do at the Chili Institute is explain to people there are different varieties or cultivars of chilies, and each has they all have like a New Mexico chili flavor, but they have different heat levels. And so if you really wanted a hot, flavorful chili, you would go with New Mex Heritage Big Jim or New Mex Sandia Select. Those were bred and selected for the hot end of the scale. We have one called New Mex Joey Parker, very mild. And then we have New Mex Heritage 6-4, which is what we would consider medium. And so really, a lot of times we just say, oh, I want mild chili, or I want medium, or I want hot. Well, those terms differ between people. So you really want to start asking by cultivar name, like we just talked about Lumbre out of Hatch, and that's a very hot one too. So once you know that you like that, then ask for that cultivar from now on. I tell people it's kind of like now when you go to the produce section and you see all the apples, so many different varieties of apples, and you'll taste the differences from Granny Smith or Yellow Delicious or Ambrosia has a vanilla note. And so you say, oh, that's the kind of apple I like. And the same thing will happen with the chilies. You say, that's the heat level I like, and I like that New Mexico chili flavor. And then, as Juan can address, you know, if you use jalapenos, you get a totally different flavor. If you use mirasol, totally different flavor. So there's all these different kinds of flavors you have to educate yourself on. So to get back to your original question, ask for New Mex Heritage Big Jim or New Mex Sandia Select, and you'll like the heat level.
And remember, Edmundo, it's been a hot summer, so they're going to be a little bit hotter. So sample some while you're there. I always do. When they roll some fresh right there for you, at Chili Willy's or at the Hatch Pepper Pot, right there, all those shops, they always give you a nice little, nice big pepper. Just give it a try.
Well, let's talk about, Dr. Bosselin, let's talk about the chili itself, the flavor of chili. Has it changed over the years? And I know several years ago you were talking about a cultivar of Heritage.
Correct. What had happened over the years, we had bred for more disease resistance, better yield, and we really hadn't focused on flavor. And that's true. I always use the example of tomatoes. You know, the tomatoes in the store taste like cardboard, and that's because breeders have bred for a tomato that you can ship across the country, and it'll stay on the shelf looking well. And unfortunately, we had started down that path of chilies that would produce a lot and had disease resistance for the growers, but didn't get the flavor. And the growers actually came to us and said, we want to get back to that original New Mexico flavor. Can you do it? And at the time, I wasn't sure, but we went to the seed vault up at Colorado, United States. Department of Agriculture has a seed vault, and under liquid nitrogen, they had the original 6-4 and the original Big Jim. We grew them out. We had to make a seed increase, but so we'd have more seed, and we planted them out. We invited the farmers to come in, the chili growers. We gave them little flags and said, you taste these, just like Juan was saying, taste them. And then if you like it, put a flag, and if you don't, leave it. And when we got done, you see some plants maybe had 3 or 4 flags. Some had 2, some had 1, many had none. So we went back, we collected the seeds from those that had the flags, we grew them out again the next year, and you have to kind of think of a plant as having an architecture, the way they grow in the field. Farmers would need a certain type of plant type to grow them so they can run the tractor through the field and do the cultivating and such. And so we finally got to the point where we thought we were ready to release, and we did a little taste test. We tasted them ourselves, but then we did an analytical taste with a machine that can actually see the molecules that make the flavor. And it turned out that New Mex Heritage 6-4 had 7 times more flavor compounds than what we were growing, And the New Mex Heritage Big Jim had 6 times more flavor compounds. So we knew there really is something to that history of that chili flavor. And so that's why we have New Mex Heritage 6-4 now and New Mex Heritage Big Jim. They were derived from those chilies, but they're not the same as the old ones because we had to change the plant architecture to grow them, and we got intensify that flavor. And so that's really what we've done. And we've tried to educate people that, you know, there truly is chili flavor. And you know, that's why we grow them.
Casey?
We have full lines. So let's go to Sherry, who is holding with a question. Good afternoon, Sherry. Welcome to the Red or Green Confidential.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome. What's on your mind, Sherry? How many pounds of chili are you buying this year?
I really, really like chili rannos, but I avoid them because the batter gets so oil-soaked and not very healthy. And so I'm wondering how to make them with less fat but maintain the same flavor.
Juan, you did this for us 2 years ago, sir.
Yes, I did. Well, Sherry, hello there. How are you?
I'm good. Very good. How are you?
Fabulous. Okay, madame. This is the way when, you know, I'm always looking at healthy alternatives because, you know, I'm in food service. So for folks that are in special diets and they don't want the heavy oils, heavy large mantecas, as we call them in Spanish. So the technique is the same. You roast the chili, you stuff it, you roast with cheese, you roll it in flour, and then you dip it into your egg batter. So this is the trick. Instead of frying it, you're going to preset one of those little tabletops griddles to about 350 degrees. So what you're going to do, you're going to spray a little bit of Pam, or if you have some olive oil, just a little dab, and then you're going to dip your pepper into the egg batter, set it flat on the griddle, let it turn golden, and then flip it over with no oil whatsoever. It will not absorb no oil at all.
Okay.
Try that. Believe me, it works great. I do it all the time. You know, I'm sure you have one of those little griddles. Or if you don't, go to your favorite hardware store and pick one up, and you know, set at 350 degrees. And then before you do your first chile relleno, just get a little dab of the egg batter, and with a tablespoon, just throw it on the griddle. Make sure it's the heat sufficient, and you know, it'll turn just like an omelet. And flip it over, and you'll know what you're getting into.
Okay. All right.
Easy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212.
We still have callers waiting. Jerry is on the line with a question for the Red or Green Confidential. Good afternoon, Jerry.
Oh, good afternoon.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
I have a question for Dr. Boslin. For people like us who grow chilies in our home garden, could you comment on fertilizing? I understand chilies in general need fertilizer that's relatively high in nitrogen.
Actually, that's kind of a misconception. What happens if you put a lot of nitrogen, you just keep getting a bigger green plant. So you kind of have to balance what we call the phosphorus and the nitrogen. The best one are the ones that they're sold for tomatoes. If it works on tomatoes, it'll work great on chilies.
Okay, like 5-10-10, 3-12-12, something like that.
That's perfect. That's absolutely perfect.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, see, we've got a packed line. So again, if you're hearing a busy signal, keep trying. We're going to get as many calls as possible.
We have cleared out a couple, and Christine is holding for a question. Good afternoon, Christine. Thanks for waiting.
It's Kristen. Is it me?
Yes, it
Kristen.
Must be
Welcome.
Kristen. Thank you.
No, that's okay. He just answered growing chilies in your own garden. But I wanted to just thank Dr. Boslin for what he brought to NMSU and to New Mexico in terms of prestige with his Chile Institute. He did fabulous work, and he needs to be congratulated daily on what he brought to us and the prestige he brought to NMSU. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kristen.
My wife would say the eagle's big enough, but thank you very much.
How much did you pay her for that call?
Exactly. She got a $20 gift certificate to the Institute.
There you go. There you go. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Do you put an egg on top of your enchiladas? Where do your family and friends eat when they visit Las Cruces. 575-646-2212. Or join us on social media where we are live streaming the show so you can take a look at our beautiful faces as we broadcast from Juan's home, Dr. Boston's home. Casey is in a studio and I am in my office. So give us a call, join in on the conversation. How hot is too hot? Dr. Boston, how hot is too hot?
Oh, that's a good question. I used to say you want to sweat, but you don't really want to be uncomfortable. So that's the way I always approach it. I tell people, think of chili heat as salt. You always need a little bit of salt on a dish. You need a little bit of chili heat. And, you know, the Chinese believe chili heat is one of the basic tastes. Like they have bitter, sweet, sour. Forget the other ones, right? Bitter, sweet, sour. But pungency or heat is one of the basic things. And so you have to have heat in the dish to balance it.
We had chili so hot one year, we named a disease that comes with it, and we called it chili bola. And it was very uncomfortable. But I was interested to learn more. You actually identified five categories of the heat sensations that we feel related to chili. Can you explain those?
Sure. Not all chili heat is the same. And so I developed what I call a heat profile of a chili. And there's five characteristics. The first characteristic is how soon do you taste the heat? If you make a bite, is it instantaneous or is there a delayed heat? Then how long does the heat linger? Does it quickly dissipate or can it linger for literally minutes, sometimes even hours? There's a trait called sharp or flat. Does the heat feel like prickly heat, like somebody sticking pins? Or does it feel more like someone has paintbrushed the heat in there? The fourth characteristic is where do you sense the heat? Tip of your tongue, your mid-palate, back of the throat. And then the fifth is the heat level. Simple thing like mild, medium, hot. We use what's called Scoville heat units. It's a measure of how hot a chili is, and it's more analytical. We're more precise that way. For example, a jalapeno heat will be on the tip of your tongue. It's going to be a flat heat, and it'll come on fairly rapid and dissipate. Habaneros, the Scotch bonnets, the other extreme, it's a delayed heat. It's in the back of the throat, and it can linger for literally hours. People have told me hours later, it's still burning. New Mexico pods have a flat heat that's in the mid-palate, and it comes on fairly rapidly and dissipates. We learned this when we were trying to export chili to Asia, and they said we didn't have good quality. We said, what do you mean? We can measure the color. We measure the heat. We don't have dead rats. We don't have bugs. What do you mean? It's not good quality. And later on, we realized that in Asian chilies, they want the sharp heat. So we went back and looked in our chili varieties, and we found out that the red sandia has a sharp heat. And so we sent some over. They said, oh, yeah, we like this. This is a good quality. And now we send literally millions of pounds of red chili powder to Asia to make kimchi, seasoned ramen noodles. And so culturally, people have chosen certain kind of chili heats. And so now we're able to put a heat profile to a chili.
Casey?
Like to go to the phone now, 575-646-2212. And George is waiting with a question for the Red or Green Confidential. Good afternoon, George.
Hello. Yes, I have a question. You know, Hatch chilies are available throughout the nation now in a number of places, which is really great in terms of distribution. But if I want to send, you know, a nice gift to a family member in Washington State or Chicago that in, you know, some type of chili that is going to be something they can't get, what are my options? I heard that there are some farms in Socorro which have, different seed sizes and slightly different flavoring. I guess the mid palate heat sounds right to me. I don't want to send a bomb in the mail. Thank you.
Well, first off, let me tell you, at the Chili Institute, you can buy candles that smell like roasted green chili. And so you may want to send them a little candle. They can light it, and then they get that beautiful smell of roasting green chili. And so we have that. And then the other thing you might want to think of is more of a dried product. As Juan was saying, dried red chilies, you could send that. It's fairly reasonable to ship something like that. The problem with green chili is it's usually frozen, and it's so expensive to ship. And so that's why New Mexico Department of Agriculture has worked on trying to get distribution of New Mexico chili around the country, setting up roasters. People would roast and take it home. But, the whole dried pods would be a good way. Powders, we have lots of nice different kinds of, chili powders that you could send. And then, of course, we always have the Holy Jolokia hot sauce that, might be kind of fun.
575-646-2212.
We have James on the line with a question. Good afternoon, James. Welcome to the Red or Green Confidential.
Hey, I have a question, guys. Why is green sometimes hotter than red?
Oh, that's because they're different varieties. They're different cultivars. Official question in New Mexico is red or green. And what you also want to say is which is hotter in that given restaurant.
And sometimes when I go into a new restaurant, I always ask, because I like my red chili a little bit on the hot side. And I always ask, is your red hotter or is your green hotter? Casey?
I have a funny story about that, because really I grew up and I measured my life by red enchiladas, right? I went from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 and then back to 3. But I love red sauce. There was a restaurant open here in town called La Ristra, and I went there and I ordered the red cheese enchiladas, and the waiter said, our red sauce is really hot. And I laughed, ha, 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 bring it to me. And he said, well, I'm actually going to bring you a sample first, just so you can try it and be sure. And I sampled it, and I said, wow, it has a kick. It's good. Bring me the enchiladas. And I couldn't finish them. I was hallucinating. I was crazy sweating. And I thought they should pay me money and put my picture on this wall if I could finish that enchilada sauce. Never had anything so hot. I don't even know what happened or how they got that stuff.
Let's talk about recipes. Juan, share your red chili pork recipe. What kind of pork do you use? Do you boil it? Do you broil it? How do you go about making your red chili pork?
All righty. Well, I always go to my local grocers, Fiesta Foods, Save Mart, they're around the corner. And, what I like to use, a pork cushion. A pork cushion, it's very lean. You get it, you cube it up three quarter inch. If that's not available, a pork picnic, a pork shoulder will work. It has a little bit more fat, nothing wrong with that. You need a little bit of that fat for the, caramelization of the beast when you dice it. So you want to get yourself a nice heavy stock pot. Dice, 3-4 pounds of pork. Depends on your family size. You have a family of 10, you want to use a little bit more. But I would recommend about at least 3 to 4 pounds. Dice it up, you brown it. You want to brown it a medium heat. And what I do while it's browning, I add a couple of bay leaves, just like 1 or 2 bay leaves. I'll add a little bit of fresh garlic, diced garlic in there, Get that aroma in there. Brown it nice and beautiful, nice and charred. In the meantime, I've already had the red sauce already working. So once that is done, I combine for a batch like that, I would do about 2 quarts of red chili puree, added to that, and then stir it gently. And then this is a trick that I use. I use about a tablespoon of cumin, a tablespoon of oregano, and then salt to taste. It's very important, the salt. People like extra salt, people like less salt. So I probably use about a tablespoon of salt just to start it off. And then just let it simmer. And bring it to a boil. Want to bring it to a boil at least for 15, 20 minutes. And then I let it simmer for another 15 minutes on low heat. And that aroma is just magnificent. The meat is nice and tender. And voila, you got red chili con carne.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212.
We have Richard on the line with a question for the Red or Green Confidential. Welcome, Richard. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Actually, I don't have a question. I have a positive. About 10 years ago, I came down with, I was treated for cancer, and the treatment, the radiation destroyed much of my taste buds. And my oncologist suggested I should eat hot chili, raw hot chili. And I did. I started eating the best I could find. And sure enough, it added to the flavor. It didn't cure me completely, but it got me back into the real world, and I'm able to really eat most of real food. So I really appreciate it. Keep on hotting. Thank you.
That's amazing.
That's great. That's great. 575-646-2212. Dr. Boslin, chili is not a pepper. True or false?
That's correct. Columbus, on his voyage to the Western Hemisphere, tasted something that was as hot like the black pepper he knew from India. So he called it pepper, and that was really chili peppers, and they're not closely related at all. The chili peppers are actually closely related to eggplants, believe it or not, something that doesn't really have much heat. And tomatoes, potatoes. So it's really in what we call the nightshade family. Interesting thing, a lot of the nightshades have alkaloids that poison you, and that's what they were called nightshades, because that meant death. And so if you ate them, you would die. But chilies never formed those alkaloids in the leaves or the plants. The capsaicinoids was the only alkaloid they ever evolved to protect themselves. And so you could actually eat chili leaves, and they do in the Philippines. They make they use it as a spinach. They cook it, make a famous chicken soup there with them. And so so chilies are chilies, pepper is pepper.
Dr. Boslin, trivia question for true or false. The heat of the chili comes from the seeds.
Well, the answer is false. The only part of a chili that is hot are those yellow veins you see on the cross walls. We call placenta. The seeds aren't hot. The walls aren't hot. And so I always tell people, if you want to have a little fun and they don't know much about chilies, take a jalapeno, you cut it, you take a piece of the wall and eat it. You won't have any heat. Give them a piece of the vein. It'll be really hot. You look pretty macho.
All right. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. One of my favorite chilies that I like, and I haven't been able to come up with a good recipe for myself to make this, but Juan, you have, and that is the chile de árbol. And you make a salsa with chile de árbol.
The chile de árbol, it's a small pepper. It's, a smoky flavor, kind of like a cayenne pepper. They grow some here, not too much. It comes from Mexico, but, we make some. And actually, I switched the recipe over because I'm using a cayenne peppers. We actually grow cayenne peppers here in the valley. So with the chile de árbol, with a recipe that I have, they sell them at the grocery stores, Lowe's, wherever you go, Albertsons. They're like about a 6 ounce little package. So what I do, I get a skillet. I warm it up. I throw the peppers in there, kind of toast them just a little. You could throw some fresh garlic cloves in there too. Garlic cloves in there. Do that, and then what you want to do, you want to go to your blender. After that, slightly toasted, throw them in the blender. I would add for about 6 ounces of the dried chili peppers and about 3 or 4 garlic cloves. I would add about half a quart of water. And then right there, then this is the twist. So you want to give it, it's going to have heat, but if you do a little bit of oregano, say like about a tablespoon of oregano, and then like a half a cup of cilantro. Half a cup of cilantro, throw it in there and puree it, salt and flavor. You're going to have that very unique flavor for tacos de barbacoa, tacos de carne asada, very unique flavor because, cilantro is a mint. It's a mint, and then with a pepper, and then you have a little bit of herb right there. You have the oregano, it marries very well together. Garlic, the garlic is very important. If you like onion, you can throw onion in there. A lot of people stay away from the onion because they're going to top off their tacos de carne asada with onion or barbacoa with onion and more cilantro. So it's a great combination right there. Now, if it's too hot for you, what I recommend, like about one can of tomato sauce. Your favorite tomato sauce, one can in there, you could throw it in there, and it kind of tones it down just a tad, not much, but then you yield more sauce as well.
AC?
We have James on the line with a follow-up question. Welcome back, James.
Hi, guys.
Hey, have a positive. I have a friend who makes mole.
Yes.
And she makes it so good. And it actually is awesome.
Well, thank you, James.
I haven't had mole in a long time.
Yeah. And, you know, there are so many different wonderful moles out there. To try and to make some interesting ways to do it too, and very unique flavors.
I want to thank our sponsors for the Red or Green Confidential: Oregon Mountain Solar and Electric, a locally owned full service system integrator providing solar and electric solutions through discovery, design, and installation of both residential and commercial. Information at OregonMountainSolar.com. By Lowe's Supermarkets, full-service grocery stores with two locations in Las Cruces and a location in Alamogordo, providing grocery needs for the entire family, including roasted green chilies on the premises. Now, that is the smell of the fall that really kicks off the fall in our community, and that is the roasters going on and on around the different supermarkets. Dr. Boslin, I know you can't speak too much of it, but, you know, what kind of impact has the fact that there's been a COVID-19 and there's been a shortage of workers? How have farmers been impacted?
Good question. Even though we have a nice crop, getting it picked. And so that is an issue when you go up to, say, Hatch, or you go somewhere to get green chilies. Depending on the day, you may or may not find green chilies. So, you know, if you have some patience, you understand, you know, the grower is trying to do the best they can, and they're trying to work through this as the best they can. But that's one of the reasons the university is working on machine harvesting of chili. We've gotten red chili now where it's almost 100% picked by machine. And green chili, we can pick it, but the interesting thing is we can't get the stem off yet. So they come with the stem, and sometimes they puncture the fruit. So Dr. Walker is working on chilies that will maybe leave the stem on the plant. So when they pull the green chili off, the stem stays on the plant. Or another approach she's taking is we pick the green chilies, and then we have a machine that will de-stem them once they've been picked, because the stem is a problem. So we can actually pull the chilies off the plants by machines, but we have to de-stem them. With red chilies, most of the red chili in the commercial industry is ground and dehydrated with the stems. So that's really not a big issue. And so working with a machine. But, yeah, COVID, I mean, it's well, I'm sure Juan can address the whole food industry and the chain of product has really been affected.
Juan? Yes. Juan, you had something you wanted to say?
No.
Okay, cool. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Dr. Boslin, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Now that you're retired, what do you feel is your biggest accomplishment in the world of chili?
Well, as the caller called in, and I appreciate the nice compliment, is that the Chili Pepper Institute, it's hard to believe when I first came here, Arizona and Texas were equal to us. And I said, no, that can't be. We've got to be the chili capital of the world. And so we started with the Chili Pepper Institute with a mission statement of educating the world about the wonders of chilies. And so as Casey was saying early on, she heard that green and red chili come from the same plant, and that's true, but we still get that question asked. And so we're still educating the world about chili peppers. And so we wanted to be a resource based for chili information, not someone where you say, well, they're just trying to sell me something. We wanted to be able that resource where you can go, we'll give you the answer. And so that really helped a lot for the food industry to buy into the concept of a Chili Institute. And so the Chili Institute is completely self-sufficient, funded through donations from the industry, individuals. And then we do sell some products like the Holy Jalokia products to help cover the cost. So really, I'm very proud that we became this center of information. And now people look to New Mexico as that center of the universe, the chili capital of the world.
We've got about 10 minutes to go in the show, so if you want to join in, now is the time, 575-646-2212.
I'd like to make one comment about the D'Arbol. Up in northern New Mexico, for some reason they call that the Bikin, but we know it in New Mexico as de arbol. But if you go to northern New Mexico, they'll call it piquin. And we know the wild small piquins about the size of a pea. That's what a piquin is to us down here in southern New Mexico. So not only do we have to educate the Californians that Anaheims are New Mexican chilies, we have to educate the northern New Mexicans that they don't have chili piquins. They got de arbol.
Yes, we have Laura waiting on the line to join the Red or Green Confidential. Good afternoon, Laura.
Hello, Dr. Roslin and Anthony. I love you both because you've really helped me through the years about the chili. Dr. Roslin first answered my question at a presentation when I said what it defines Hatch chili. But my question is, I just transported a huge bag of green chili, freshly roasted, that I got the night before a trip to California, and I want to know what is the best way to transport chili when it's going to take 2 to 3 days. It was roasted green chili. How do you, what would you suggest?
Well, that's a tricky one.
Probably dry ice.
Absolutely.
You know, you've got to keep it cool.
I don't know where I got this idea from somebody. I put the dry ice on the bottom of the cooler and then a bag of ice, just regular ice from the store, and then put the chili, and I had cooled them the best I could in the refrigerator, which was a chore. I'm getting, but anyway, making space. But then I put a wrapped in the paper bag another block of dry ice on the top, because I was told that if you put the dry ice all on the top, it would freeze them. But if you made this layered system, that it would keep them cool. So if nobody has a better idea, that seemed to work. I mean, it did work. It did work because it was 3 days before we took them out to clean them.
That's amazing. And were they appreciative that you took them this fresh chili with all the work that you put into it? I mean, sounds like a science project.
In a way, it was, because my daughter is an expat. She and her husband, Ricardo Hawkes, Dr. Hawkes from NMSU, moved to California a few years back. And they can't roast green chili, and they love the big gyms and the New Mexico, and they can't roast this year because of the fires. She had called me, and I didn't even know. Everybody told me, oh, it's too early. And I did also want to mention, I got those at Lowe's Fiesta. And I didn't even ask what they were, because it was the last minute and it was 5 o'clock and I discovered them accidentally when I went for something else, and the roaster was closing at 5:30, and I was leaving the next morning at 5:30 a.m. for California. So it was quite interesting. Yeah. I had to literally empty my refrigerator.
Well,
it's cool enough to put in the refrigerator.
Sure, it's worth it, right? We always make room for chili in the fridge, and I'm glad that worked for you. And if there's not really a better option that anyone knows of, then we'll leave you to that and move on to our next caller. All right?
Thank you.
All right. Going once, going twice. Yes.
575-646-2212.
That is
575. We've got about 5 minutes to go. 6 minutes to go, Casey.
Yeah. So let's welcome Larry Chavarria, who's been holding. Thank you, Larry. Welcome to the Red or Green Confidential.
Yeah, I got on kind of late, but I had a couple of questions for Juan Morales, Mr. Morales. Why I mean, what is your thought on some people put, I mean, chile colorado con carne, but they put potatoes in it just to make it go further, or what?
It's a filler, Larry. You know, that's what it is. Especially like if you're in the burrito business like myself, I add the potatoes, you know, as a filler. It goes further. And you have big families like we grew up with a big family. My mother always did it like that. So, you know, and the flavor's good. So the trick is about when you're doing the potatoes, you want to add the potatoes when the meat's already brown. It's already brown, and then you add the sauce. You add the sauce and let it simmer. Otherwise, it'll turn into mush.
You have another question?
You could pre-cook the potatoes, mix them up, and add them in there at the very end. Let it simmer for about 10 minutes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. When you freeze your green chili, do you prefer it already peeled or still with a peeling on it?
That's a great question.
It's your
Dr. Baslin and Juan, what's your preference?
It's your preference. You know, what I do, like me, when I roast a chili, I have a drum. I have a roaster. I roast it, and I get the water hose, and I just get the trigger, and I hit it lightly, and it just peels right off. Now, my wife, she likes it with the skin on, so when she brings out a bag, a two-pound bag with her, she puts it in the sink, and then she peels it. And then for her, it's easier to make the rellenos out of it. I mean, she just likes to peel them. Me, I try to do it easier myself.
Casey?
Okay, well, thank you for your input, and you have a blessed day.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling. Let's move on to our next caller. We'll squeeze as many in as we can here in the final few minutes. Diane, thank you for waiting, and welcome to the Red or Green Confidential, Diane.
Well, thank you. My question is, what in the world are chiltepins or something like that? I'm not exactly sure how it's pronounced. And what do you do with them? I know that people are sort of eager to get them when they can. Anyway, what the heck are they?
We got a nod of affirmation from Dr. Baslin here.
If we say chiltepin, chiltepin, it means flea chili from the Aztec language. And it's a small little chili, you know, about the size of a pea, a little pea. And if you travel to Mexico, sometimes you'll see these little wooden grinders. They're carved. And what you do is you put the little chiltepins, the dried chiltepins, in there. You grind it and put it on. The folklore says that chiltepin heat won't hurt your tummy. Sometimes people eat jalapenos and they say, the heat hurts my tummy. Chiltepins have the reputation of being easy on your stomach. But it's interesting. They're one of the food we harvest from the wild still. They're the wild. That's the mother of all chilies. Before there were humans making all the selection, that's what chili peppers look like. And they have a symbiotic relationship with birds. Birds can't taste chili heat. So they'll eat the little chiltepins and spread the seeds. The bird gets vitamins, carotenoids, and the chili plant gets its seed spread. So they have for millions of years now, they've had this symbiotic relationship. And actually, the chili heat is to keep mammals like mice and squirrels from eating it. So it's always interesting why humans began to eat it, you know, something that gave us pain. But, we, you know, it's probably a medicinal plant in early times. And then now we kind of appreciate the chili heat. But, yeah, you can actually grow a wild chiltepin plant in your yard in a pot and have them out there and pick them.
All right.
Thank you. Yes. Let's welcome one more caller to the show. Chris has been holding. Welcome to the Red or Green Confidential, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. My grandfather always used to say that chili always makes all food honest when you add it to it. And as a previous caller was mentioning how to transport it, I used to do it on an airplane underneath the plane because you can't carry it on because it's a liquid. But nobody's flying anymore, and sure enough, my mom, who's from Las Cruces, found Hatch green chili in Connecticut where she lives. So that's good news. I just didn't know how far the chili is being sent in the United States, let alone the world. So that was my question. As far as popularity.
All right. Thank you, Chris. It is 1:59, so just a couple minutes to go.
All righty. The New Mexico Department of Agriculture had a program marketing chili. They went all over the country. from Maine to California, from the Canadian border down, to try to get people to eat green chili. So it's out there. And actually, we have a canning facility down the road here in years ago called Old El Paso. They would can and actually put Arabic labels on it and send it to the Middle East. So our green chili is all over the world.
We're wrapping it up right now. Let's thank our sponsors, Oregon Mountain Solar and Electric, and Lowe's Supermarkets. This is the Red or Green Confidential, which is now coming up, if I'm not mistaken, our fourth or fifth year. I don't remember, but it's gone on for quite some time, and we're really excited to be able to have this show. Thank you very much for those of you that called in and joined in. And we have a, what you got, Casey?
That's the 1 minute warning.
Okay. So let's wrap it up. Dr. Boston, Juan Morales, thank you very much for joining us today and being part of the show. It's fantastic to be able to, this is the only chili show that I'm aware of that dedicates its 1 hour to chili. So Dr. Boston, Juan Morales, thank you very much.
You're welcome,
Mundo.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. We've got some other great shows coming up in the upcoming weeks. Casey, take it away.
All right. Just 30 seconds to go. And we have Leora Zeitlin coming up next, of course, with Intermezzo by Request. And I hope you'll join me this afternoon for All Things Considered here on KRWG. Thanks for being with us.